Page 12 Subcommittee will come to order. Ann, if you'll please call the roll.
Chair Atkins.
Here.
Vice Chair Diaz.
Here.
Ranking Member Clark Reed.
Here.
Representative Baxley.
Here.
Bracey.
Yes, here.
Castor-Dental. Eagle.
Here.
Hood. Porter. Rayburn.
Here.
Renuart.
Here.
Start.
Here.
Zimmerman.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you, Ann. And Representative Porter and Representative Hood have an excused absence. Members, we have one bill to hear today, PCS for HB 875, Education Fiscal Accountability, by Vice Chair Diaz. You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have a PCS for House Bill 875, which has to do with return on investment on our educational spending and a schoolhouse funding pilot program. The PCS requires the Commissioner of Education to establish a return on investment rating system by January 31st, 2015. The system will evaluate how well schools and school districts use financial resources in a cost-effective manner to improve student performance relative to similarly situated schools in the district. The system will emphasize indicators that measure how taxpayer dollars are used to facilitate increased student academic performance. The PCS requires the Commissioner to determine fiscal peers or schools and school districts of similar size and cost per student FEFP funding for each school and each school district for the purpose of comparing the ROI ratings among similar districts, public schools, and charter schools. The PCS defines the terms on return of an investment rating, fiscal peers, and core operating expenditures for the purpose of determining return on investment ratings for schools and school districts. In addition, the PCS creates a schoolhouse funding pilot program. This program grants principals of participating pilot schools increased authority over school budgets and personnel decisions for the purpose of determining whether the increased authority positively impacts the return on investment. This would basically grant schools in these school districts that decide to participate same or similar flexibilities to those that a charter school has. And we would choose 15 middle schools and 15 high schools to participate as pilot programs throughout the state in a two-year pilot beginning 2015-2016 school year. To be eligible for selection, a school must have received a grade of C, D, or F in each of the last 5 years and represent diverse student populations, including minority students, students receiving free or reduced lunches, and students with disabilities. The PCS establishes requirements for the pilot program concerning participation in the state assessment, school accountability systems, educator certification, background screening, and personnel evaluation, all of that in statute for schools already. The PCS also provides requirements with respect to employment contracts, personnel decisions, and distribution of state and federal funding for pilot programs. And, Madam Chair, that's the bill.
All right, members, do you have any questions on the PCS? Representative Zimmerman, recognized for questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Diaz, how does it measure? But what basis are you measuring the return on investment? Is this based on standardized tests? What if a school is going to make an investment in equipment, what do they need to justify, and how is it measured that whether that money's doing the job?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, Representative, that's a great question. What we're doing here is providing the structure for the commissioner to engage in creating this index. All of the data that's required to create this index already exists at the Department of Education. It's just in about 12 different places. And what we would do with this is ask her to merge the data together and create an index showing where the money has been spent. It doesn't have any effect whatsoever on school grading or accountability. Whatever our state accountability system is, whatever the grading is, that will provide the grade. This will just show best practices. It'll show where the money's being spent and how successful schools do it, how maybe schools can learn from it. So it's providing really transparency in where the money's being spent.
Follow up, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Does this also involve PICO funds?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. No, this has to do with the FEFP funding that comes from the state.
Representative Castor-Dental, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Representative, what about the added dollars from
a PTA or an education foundation in the ways that they supplement instruction and programs at the school level. Would that be accounted for in this index?
You're recognized.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative. That is not included in here right now, but I would be open to looking at the possibility of the impact of some of those dollars I know that vary from district to district and from school to school, actually.
Follow up.
Go ahead.
If a school doesn't have the PTA dollars, would they be then punished for not being as effective with what they're spending their dollars on if their test scores or their scores they're not as high as another school with those PTA dollars? Would you then say you all need to do a better job of raising PTA funds to raise your scores? I mean, I don't understand the purpose of the index.
I'm sure. Representative, the index is designed to show what the schools are doing with the funding that we provide from the state. Your earlier question asked about if I would be indicating that they do receive funds from other places. If a school receives funds from other places, I think there's a place for a conversation about that. But the idea here is to see if we're receiving a per student funding for every student in the state that goes to the schools, how are schools doing with that and what they're doing with it? And, you know, there's a wide range of variety of schools across the state, even within districts, even within communities. Some do a better job with those dollars than others. And I understand the question about added dollars, but that doesn't really come into the index as it is because we're talking about state dollars. And the idea is to provide the taxpayers some transparency in where their dollars are being spent. There is no punitive portion of this index.
Thank you.
Representative Clark Reed, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Diaz, aren't charter schools receiving public funds?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, they are.
Follow-up, Madam Chair.
You're recognized.
Then why are they exempt from this bill?
Representative Diaz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, the charter schools are not exempt from the ROI. As a matter of fact, they're not even exempt from the funding pilot program, but they're not exempt from the ROI. They are included.
Representative Stark for question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a couple of questions. First one is I understand that there's a lot of academic financial information already being sent out. So with what we're looking to do, is there any new information that the return on investment index is going to be measuring?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's Representative, basically what this does is organize it all in one place where the taxpayer, the constituents, can go in and look at all of the financial data that's already there. The department collects a lot of financial data at this moment already. It's just placed in different parts, and it would take someone a long time to collect the data and be able to put it together. This just puts it together in one place so that everyone can see where the dollars are or how the dollars are being spent.
We recognize for follow-up.
Thank you. So, but there's not any new data that we're asking. It's just the data that's already currently there for them to measure.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The data that would produce this is already there. The only thing that we're putting it together to create a return on investment index in one place.
Representative Clark Reed for a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In the part of the establishing the pilot program, Representative, we're leaving the principal, making the principal the person who is going to make the decisions in those schools that are selected for the program. Is that correct?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That's correct.
Follow-up, Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
These principals that are with the programs, are they going to be vetted? And I mean that in the sense of if these principals are going to be in charge of the programs and the selection of what's going to happen, are we going to be looking at how that principal has performed in the past maybe say 3 years or 5 years to be sure that we're making the right selection of a school principal to do this pilot program?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That's a great question, and I have worked very closely with Superintendent Runcie from Broward Schools on this idea. The absolute total control of who the principal is, what school participates from that county, is with the superintendent and the school board. And, you know, the superintendent is going to have to have a lot of confidence in the person that they put in this position. In addition to that, Representative, we're going to be seeking some part of the funding that the governor has recommended for principal training from Chairman Fresson in Education to try to provide extensive training for these principals as CEOs. They're educational leaders. They got a lot of training in education. We want to try to provide them some professional development on how to manage. So what we want to create is local control closest to the people in those communities. You know, every community is different. Every school is different. So absolutely, to answer your question, this person must have the absolute confidence of the superintendent making the decision for that local board.
Any Representative Zimmerman for a question?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Diaz, I'm concerned about what type of achievement we're looking for, and I'll give you some examples that are part of my question. We spend money on football equipment. Let's say a helmet, because it protects somebody's head and protects them from injury. Would they get a top score for return on investment for money spent on football equipment? Because it certainly is the best protector that they can have. Or is this simply academic achievement? I'm concerned about that drama band. Could you talk a little bit about how return on investment and how that's going to be measured for things like that?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The return on investment index is designed to give the public a transparent view of how the dollars are being spent at the school and how that investment, what result is shown on academic achievement. With whatever accountability formula we end up deciding on, football helmets being purchased may or may not affect that, because you could have different ways that you could say the school morale, because you had a winning football team, could affect what happens at a school. But at the end of the day, it's reflected in the accountability system. So if that works in a certain community, that's fine. Again, this is not about any penalties. This is simply about showing what works. This will help someone else in another community or in another district look at what a particular school has done and how they achieved their high achievement, and maybe take some ideas from there. So that's what it's designed to do. It's designed to share best practices. It's not to penalize anyone. And again, it does not remove any of the local control from the decision-making. In fact, it makes it more local in these pilot program.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In the program that I teach, I have a high number of students that have gone on and working in the business. None of that is currently measured in how I'm evaluated or how my school is evaluated. But yet that seems to be on a return on investment. That seems to be, you know, what we're really ultimately going for is job placement in occupations that we're teaching. How would this ROI reflect the, say, $300,000 to $500,000 spent on TV production equipment in my program and the return on investment for that money?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would say that would be a conversation we have when the index is created. If there are auxiliary factors that would affect, and I would agree with you that anything that has a positive outcome in job placement or anything, that's what we're striving for, we'd be willing to look at that to make sure that is included in outcomes somehow, so that, you know, you can reflect the index plus outcomes. So the dollars that are being spent in that school are producing this achievement, plus look at all these outcomes. So I am willing to have that conversation. We absolutely want to make this a reflection of all the achievements that the school was having, from the academic and this, you know, even industry certification. That's all important.
Okay, Representative Bracey, then followed by Representative Stark.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Diaz, why do we choose the schools that have C, D, or F to participate in this program? What's the thinking behind that?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative, for that great question. We want to look at having an impact on improving these schools. So I want to give the superintendent the leeway to go and try something different at some of the schools, give them the opportunity to be flexible and innovative. If you have a school that for some reason, let's say it is a C school and it's kind of never broken out of that, it's kind of been hovering there. If we allow more local control at the school site, if we get that principal some more professional development, if we let him keep more of those dollars at the school site, and let's look at what impact that has on raising the achievement level of the school. So I really, you know, if we look at a school that's been an A for 10 years and we provide them this flexibility and they continue being an A, how do we measure the impact? If you take a school that's a D or an F or a C and you put it in this pilot program and for 2 years all of a sudden the school goes to a B, goes to an A, then you know that you've had an impact. If it doesn't change, then you can also look at that as well and say, well, this didn't work here. So I really want to look at schools where we can make, where we can provide the opportunity to the superintendent locally to make an impact at those schools.
Representative Stark.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Regarding the pilot program, have the schools to participate in this already been identified at this point?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. No, that is part of the process of getting this PCS in and figuring out how we get the information out to these counties and make it available for all the superintendents and the boards to look at this and say, hey, we want to be innovative. We want to try this. I know I have buy-in from a couple of the counties, one of them being Broward, one of the counties we mutually represent. They're very excited about this, and they are already doing some things that are geared in this direction. This would allow them a little more flexibility and the dollars through the professional development to actually get these principals some more training.
Follow up.
Regarding the return investment system, will the public be able to actually, will there actually be something on the internet where the public can actually go and take a look at the breakdown and what the what the system's actually measuring?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That's correct. That is our goal, to get it make it the most accessible to the public, the most transparent, so that it's understandable and they can see these are where dollars are being spent. You know, if we increase our budget proposal this year increases a K-12 funding by over $300 million. Where is that going to be spent? And then if they come back and say, look, you're getting great return on these investments at these schools, they're doing a great job. That's a model that other people can follow.
All right, so once the system is in place, how long before the public might be able to see the results? I know it can't happen, like within 2 days, but how long, do you expect that would be?
You're recognized.
Thank you. Well, currently the bill asked the commissioner to do this by January 30, 2015. So we have to wait till the end of the year to receive the data, and it has to be put into this index then. And hopefully when the accountability grades come out, we'll be able to have this index along with it.
So that would probably be in the 2016 school year?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That's correct, 2015-2016.
Okay, Representative Clark Reed for question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Diaz, has any thought been given to teachers who may not want to be in these schools where you're going to put this pilot program? Would they have the ability, is there somewhere that in this whole thing that they would have the ability to transfer to another school without penalty of any sort?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The idea, and that's why we have a PCS to work through some of those issues, the idea is to give that control to the local school board. They already have a collective bargaining agreement, so we don't want to circumvent that. If you're in a pilot program, I would say that they would be able to opt out if they didn't want to be in a program like this. So we want to provide as much flexibility for that school to include the teachers. If they don't want to participate, then have them placed somewhere else where they can where they're fine.
Follow up by Clark Reed. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. The test scores that are going to be used to determine which test scores are we going to be using, this year's test scores or next year's test scores?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We're going to be using next year's. We have to, the commissioner, if you look at the bill, January 2015 is when the index has to come back. So they're going to use the test scores that are coming in after that.
yeah. recognize.
Not this year.
Okay. All right. Representative Zimmerman for a question.
One last question, sorry. Schools that, for pilot schools, schools that currently house magnets, and many of the lower performing schools, you know, over the years have acquired magnets, you know, how would that be dealt with as far as the funding? Because they're getting extra funding for the magnet. Could you explain that a little bit?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The idea behind this pilot is that the entire amount of money that we send down here from Tallahassee when we appropriate that goes to that child that attends that school. If there are extra funds for magnet, for federal funds, anything, they go to that school, they will go directly to that school, and the district will take a small percentage management fee, so that really giving the school entire flexibility. So it would not affect any of those dollars. The reverse is present. The school would actually receive the majority of the dollars that belong attached to the kids that are at that traditional public school. Whether it has a magnet or not doesn't affect it. The money will all go there.
Any further questions? All right, do we have any appearance cards? We have Sarah Clemens, Foundation for Florida's Future. Wave in support. Stacy Webb, Students First. Wave in support. Sharon Nesvig, Florida Education Association. Wave in opposition. Thank you. Candace Billingsley. Wave in support. Thank you. Diedrich Woodard. Wave in support. Thank you. Abby McGiver. Waves in support. And Sheila Van Hoos. Waves in support. Very good. Thank you. All right, members, we're in debate. Do we have any debate on this bill? Representative Baxley, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I rise in support of this good bill and encourage the members to vote for it. Number of themes that strike me in the good work of the presenter of this bill for the committee. One is the concept of best value. You know, many times I hear observers of school systems and critics make a lot of comment about inputs, you know, and how much we spend per student compared to other states and that kind of thing. But the investors, sure, the parents and the taxpayers of the state, I think they're looking to us to find the best value for the dollar they invest. And I think this bill speaks to moving to that standard. Leadership empowerment is another theme. You know, if we expect principals to be effective, we need to empower them with some of the resources. And this clearly will lead in that direction. You know, more accomplishment that you exhibit than and more autonomy that you receive to direct those resources. You know, improving student performance is the measure, and we've proven over the last 10 or 15 years what gets measured gets done. We have those measurements. We can empower leadership in these schools. And it really challenges the school leadership to own their own destiny. And those are the kinds of things that I think are going to make real change. And the transparency of reporting and making this evident can only bring more encouragement and participation from parents of students to help that dream come true. So I fully support the bill. Thank you for bringing it.
Thank you, Representative Baxley. Anybody else in debate? Representative Zimmerman in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm against the bill, and I'm against it because I believe we're trying to put a square peg in a round hole. I don't think when you're dealing with children, we're not dealing with widgets. I don't think this is something that can be measured with a mathematical formula. I think that, you know, as reflected by some of the questions I asked, there are many things that are spent, money is spent on, that are not measured by these formulas that we're using. There's no measurement for the days that I have to break up a fight and I may save somebody's somebody from being bullied. There's no measurement for that. There's no measurement for, you know, what a teacher might do to help a child in the future and make good decisions, make good ethical decisions. This is a black and white formula that I think is the wrong way to approach the spending of money in public schools, and for that reason, I'm against this bill.
Okay. Representative Eagle, in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Diaz, for this great bill. I think it's very great and novel that we're trying to infuse some accountability and some transparency into the education system. I've often said, I mean, if we want to give $1 billion to education, that's great, but where's the money going? Are we just using that money to fund bureaucracy? How much is actually going down to that student in that classroom and helping that student succeed and get the tools he needs in life to move forward? Are we spending too much, too little on overhead? We don't know with the tools that we have right now, and this will help us get there. Any good business in today's society would employ this type of mechanism to try to determine if their money's being spent wisely. And I don't see why education or government should be above that. So I appreciate you putting this forward. The fact that it is a pilot program gives us time to work on it and should ease concerns of others that this isn't just a one-size-fits-all type thing. We are going to try to take a stab at doing something good to infuse some accountability and some transparency into the system, and we can work on it over time. So I really appreciate you bringing this forward. I wholeheartedly support it, and I hope the rest of the committee will too.
Very good. Representative Clark Reed in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I must say, for my years of being here in Tallahassee, each year there comes a new formula or a new something to measure our schools and what our schools are doing or not doing. This bill tries to get at, in my opinion, moving public schools to look more like a charter school in some areas of this bill. I just have a deep concern, although my school district says, yes, they support Representative Diaz's bill, I personally still have some questions about it. I trust my superintendent, and for that reason, I am going to vote for this bill today and to hold my superintendent accountable for his decision to be in favor of this. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Stark, in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have very similar concerns to my colleague, Gwen Clark Reed. Part of our job here is to represent our districts, not that we always have to agree with them, but definitely when I see my school district leaning in favor of something, you know, I've got to take a look at that very strongly. My concern is that we very often, we just do this in American society in general, is that we seem to put, it's like the flavor of the year. What are we trying to do here? And we have a hodgepodge of a lot of things that we're asking the school districts to measure. And now this is another one. The measurements are there, but now it's another thing that they have to do. And I don't even, you know if the teachers and everybody else understand everything they have to do. It goes into effect. Then are we going to make changes again after that? So that's a concern of mine. Although I am leaning in favor today and will probably vote for this today, my final judgment on the floor will come after, you know, studying this, and, you know, we're really going to have to take a good look at this, but today I'm leaning in favor.
Representative Wren, you weren't in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't think anybody on this committee would believe that investing in education does not provide a return of investments as our students progress through schools. But education is the largest portion of our budget, and anything that's worth funding with taxpayer money should be measured. You know, we should see where it is. The best practices should be supported, and those ideas and those things that work should be shared with other systems. You know, if you ever believe that they're funded, you know, at the level they need to be, everybody's saying they need more money. And I support the level of accountability that this bill provides. I think it was Jerry Maguire, that Tom Cruise movie a few years ago, was "Show Me the Money." Well, this is what taxpayers are saying: show me where the money goes. And this may lead to improving how we fund schools in the future, so we can direct additional funds in the right direction. I'm in big support of this bill.
Anyone else in debate? Representative Castro-Dentzel, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Diaz. I understand your attempt to increase transparency, and I certainly favor principals looking into best practices and even how our dollars are being spent and how efficiently. However, if you aren't careful with your measurement and with all the variables that go into teaching and learning, then you may end up with an index that's as fundamentally flawed as the teacher's VAM score. I don't believe this bill improves student performance. We already have a great sense of what is what works, and adequate funding of all of our schools is what works. So I oppose this bill, and I ask my colleagues to also vote no.
Anyone else in debate? Representative Diaz, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank all the members of the committee for their views and their perspectives, and I appreciate that. I just want to tell you that this transparency doesn't create any kind of mandate, doesn't create any kind of penalty. The data is already there. Public schools are always longing for having flexibility. This pilot program grants them that flexibility, gives them the ability to compete on an even playing field. So what I'm doing here is trying to get education to its most local point, and that is the principals. Our superintendents have to trust our principals. This is not about more requirements. This is about showing the public, the taxpayers, where the money is going. If we're going to continue to say that we need more money for education, which I think all of us agree that that's money well spent, we just want to have the transparency of where it's going. The leadership that goes along with this, a lot of studies, if you go out and look at them, show that the single most important factors at a school when it's turned around, when it's a high achiever, are the leadership and the quality of the teachers. This is improving and training your leaders to continue to move those schools forward. We're looking at, and Representative Bracey's point, we're looking at the schools that have not been achieving, and we're trying to provide them the assistance, the innovation. So I am, in this bill, attempting to give our superintendents a lot of leeway, a lot of freedom to show their leadership along with their principals. I ask you to support this bill today. This is not a bill that is requiring more things of school. This is data that's already out there, and I think we are responsible to making sure that our constituents, that the taxpayers, are able to see where their tax dollars are going. That's all this does. So I appreciate your support today.
Anne, if you please call the roll.
Chair Atkins.
Yes.
Representative Baxley.
Yes.
Bracey. Castor-Dental.
Yes.
Clark Reed.
Yes.
Diaz.
Yes.
Eagle.
Yes.
Hood. Porter.
Yes.
Rayburn. Renouard?
Yes.
Start?
Yes.
Zimmerman?
No.
The bill passes.
Very good. By your vote, PCS for HB 875 will be reported favorably as a committee substitute. So thank you, members, for your attendance today. I do need to let you know that next Tuesday, March the 25th, will be the last meeting of the K-12 committee. I want to thank each of you for your attendance and your participation through committee weeks and through session. And with that, Representative Renouard moves we rise. Without objection, show the motion adopted, and our meeting is adjourned.